This morning we're going to think about a man called Tychicus, an unsung hero of faith. Let me give you an idea of what it's like to be an unsung hero in the world's terms. A young man called Thomas Brown was a young chef on board a naval ship, and he was the one who was involved in a very brave act which led to a code called the Enigma Code, a code that was being used by Nazi Germany in the Second World War. That code was cracked because of his bravery. Probably none of you have heard of him. I'd never heard of him before I started to look for an example of an unsung hero. He's been recognised by his hometown now in North Shields in North Tyneside. He was a 15-year-old teenager. He lied about his age and joined the Royal Navy during the Second World War. He worked in the canteen of a ship called HMS Petard. He was awarded the George Medal because he was involved in retrieving these code books which helped crack the German codes that they were using in the Second World War, when he was involved in rescuing the code books from a sinking German U-boat, a submarine, in October 1942. The code books were used by experts at Bletchley Park to enable British forces to decipher Nazi messages. Two other naval men died in getting the codes from that sinking German submarine. But this young man survived, and he managed to save the code books from the sea, and it led to great advances in us being able to understand and work out what German forces were planning. His nephew, Andrew Miller, explained Thomas had a tough upbringing. How did he learn to swim? He learned to swim when his father and brothers threw him into the River Tyne. That's not a recommended way of teaching children to swim. But they threw him in the river, and it was sink or swim, and he swam. Miller said his uncle took a big risk to help retrieve the code books, because when he jumped from the ship where he was serving as a chef into the water, down into that submarine, two others who went into the submarine to retrieve the code books died. But Thomas managed to protect the code books. He got them back on board the ship. They went to Bletchley Park. The codes were cracked. There was a great advance. And that story has been pieced together by his family. It was kept secret for a long time under the Official Secrets Act. But now, in his hometown, this memorial has been raised to him, a young teenager whose heroic actions helped shorten the Second World War. The mayor of the town says we can't be sure how many lives he saved by that moment of bravery, but it was probably many, many, many thousands. Well, this morning we're looking at an unsung hero of the faith, an unsung hero of the Bible, a person that perhaps we don't think about or know so much about. But I want us to think about a little-known man this morning called Tychicus, where we read of him in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 21 and 22, where Paul says, "But that you also may know my affairs and how I am doing, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will make all things known to you, whom I have sent to you for this very purpose, that you may know our affairs and that he may comfort or encourage your hearts." Now, the big theme of Ephesus, Paul's letter to the Ephesians, is how Paul tells the gospel story. How if you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, that reshapes every part of your life. And here's a man, Tychicus, who had trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, and his life was being reshaped by the Saviour. In Ephesians 1-3, we read of the glorious riches and blessings you receive when you turn from your sins and put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Adoption into God's family, forgiveness of sins, God's undeserved grace towards you, God's people, a new humanity in Christ, who have peace with God. Do you have peace with God this morning? Have you turned from your sins? Have you wholeheartedly entrusted yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour? Is he reshaping your life? Well, there's a big pivot in Ephesians in chapter 4, where Paul says, if you're a real Christian, a heart Christian, someone who's truly trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm not talking about nominal Christianity now, where people are Christians in name only, but a real heart change, where you've wholeheartedly trusted in Jesus Christ. Paul says, therefore, walk worthy of the calling with which you are called. And then there are these glorious instructions on Christian living. The old self put away, a new self put on in Christ that changes our values and our relationships and our speech. All our key relationships now are marked by a spirit-worked change. We serve one another in marriage, in parenting, in the workplace. We come out of darkness, live in the light. But Paul has said there's also a spiritual battle going on, so we must put on the whole armor of God. But isn't it striking that as Paul comes to the end of this letter, how does he finish? How does he conclude? This letter that's been deeply theological and practical. But Paul ends with real pastoral care. And how he ends shows his deep love for the church he'd helped establish in Ephesus. He sends them to Tychicus, this beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, to comfort them, to encourage them. So what do we know about this man Tychicus? He's mentioned 5 times in the Bible, and I want to put that jigsaw together so that we can learn about this man, but also see what we can learn from him. Where is Tychicus first mentioned in the Bible? Well, if you've got a Bible this morning, we're going to do some moving around, because first of all, we read about him in Acts chapter 20 and verses 2 to 6. Acts chapter 20, verses 2 to 6, we read about Tychicus, and this is what we hear about him. That when Paul had gone over that region and encouraged them with many words, he came to Greece and stayed 3 months. And when the Jews plotted against him as he was about to sail to Syria, he decided to return through Macedonia. And then he gives a list of men who travelled with him. And Sopater of Berea accompanied him to Asia, also Aristarchus and Secundus of the Thessalonians, and Gaius of Derbe, and Timothy, and Tychicus, there he is, Tychicus and Trophimus of Asia. These men going ahead waited for us at Troas, but we sailed away from Philippi. So we read and hear about Tychicus, that he's from Asia. When we hear Asia today, we think of something, but in the Bible, when we hear of Asia, we're talking about Asia Minor, what we would today call Turkey. And Tychicus was probably from Ephesus. I say that because in chapter 21, verses 27 to 29, we read of Paul, when the Jews from Asia, seeing him in the temple, stirred up the whole crowd and laid hands on him, crying out, "Men of Israel, help! This is the man who teaches all men everywhere against the people, the law, and this place. And furthermore, he also brought Greeks into the temple and has defiled this holy place." So trouble is being stirred up against Paul. They had previously seen Trophimus, the Ephesian, with him in the city, whom they supposed that Paul had brought into the temple. So that's likely that Trophimus and this man Tychicus were from Ephesus. And he's one of the men that Paul took with him then on a journey as he made his way to Jerusalem. Now you can get lost in the journeys and the chronology in Asia. But when you put it together, they were a group of men who were with the Apostle Paul heading towards Jerusalem. And it's likely that they were with Paul because Paul had collected money to deliver help to the church in Jerusalem because of a famine that had occurred. So he took these men with him. And in chapter 24 and verse 17, we read that after many years, Paul says, "I came to bring alms, to bring money and offerings to my nation." So when we put it together, Acts chapter 20 tells us, what we have is likely a list of representatives from the various churches who had given money for the collection to help the church in Jerusalem. And that's why Paul mentions these men were traveling with him, Sopater, Berean, many had been collected from the church there. The Thessalonians, Aristarchus and Secundus, many had been collected from the church there. Gaius from Derbe, many had been collected from the church there. And then the Asians, Tychicus and Trophimus, because many had been collected from the churches there too. So Luke is telling us, from various places Paul had visited, where Paul had collected money, now men are travelling with him to Jerusalem to take that money to the church in Jerusalem. And it shows us Paul was being careful. As he travelled to Jerusalem with money, quite a lot of money, he shows he can be trusted by taking representatives from the churches where the money had been collected, who were overseeing what was happening. Paul was not a con man. Paul and these representatives were traveling together to take money to the church in Jerusalem. Tychicus then was a well-respected, capable man. He was a leader in the church from the region where he lived. Paul picked him as a representative. Tychicus wasn't some random Christian that Paul had happened to meet along the way. He would have been one of the leaders of the church in Asia. And he travels with Paul to Jerusalem. So that's the first mention of Tychicus. The second mention is the one we've read in Ephesians 6, where we are told that Tychicus was a beloved brother and a faithful minister in the Lord. Paul sent him to Ephesus to comfort the people, to encourage the people, and to tell them how Paul was doing. The third mention is like the one in Ephesians and is found in Colossians chapter 4. And it's a very similar situation, Colossians chapter 4. Verse 7. Colossians 4 verse 7 says, Tychicus, a beloved brother, faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord, will tell you all the news about me. And then in verse 9, Paul says that Tychicus, along with Onesimus, will make known to them all the things that are happening. So Paul sent this man to Ephesus ahead of him. He sent him to Colossae ahead of him. He says that Tychicus was a faithful, beloved brother. You should listen to him. He's going to tell you how I'm doing. And then we have very brief mentions in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. Tychicus I've sent to Ephesus. The second time Paul sends Tychicus to Ephesus. First time he sends him to deliver the letter to the Ephesians. The second time he sends him to Ephesus to help Timothy. And the fifth occasion, Titus chapter 3. When I sent Artemis to you, or Tychicus, be diligent to come to me at Nicopolis, for I've decided to spend the winter there. So he sent to help Titus. So here's a man, Tychicus, in whom Paul had confidence. He sends him to Ephesus. He sends him to Crete. He sends him as a capable representative who can help. And when you put the five occasions together, Acts 20, Ephesians 6, Colossians 4, 2 Timothy 4, Titus 3, you can see why it's like a jigsaw. You need to put it together. What can we say about this man, Tychicus? Well, Paul was very honest in his descriptions of people. You can't charge Paul with being a backslapper, as speaking well of everyone. In 2 Timothy, he says things like this. 2 Timothy 2 verses 17 and 18. Hymenaeus and Philetus have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. So there are some people Paul warns about. 2 Timothy 4 verse 10. Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. There are some people who've caused Paul heartache. 2 Timothy 4:17, Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. So Paul called a spade. If you were doing something wrong, Paul would call you out. But here, Tychicus is clearly doing something right. A beloved brother and a faithful minister in the Lord. Why does Paul talk about him like that? Well, we can learn about him four things, and we can learn and be challenged about him. Because we see, first of all, that Tychicus was an encourager. An encourager. Ephesians 6, 22, Paul says, I've sent Tychicus to you for this very purpose, that you may know our affairs, and that he might comfort or encourage your hearts. Now, certainly the Ephesians wanted to hear about Paul. How was Paul doing? We know that Paul went to Ephesus and he preached the gospel there. And the church in Ephesus wanted to know about Paul. How was he doing? They wanted an update. Was Paul alive? Was Paul being persecuted? Was Paul in prison? But it was more than that. To comfort, to encourage, is one of those Bible words that we shouldn't water down. We might think of encouragement as being just a pat on the back. Keep going, press on, don't give up. We can even think of encouragement as a word of affirmation. Feel good about yourself. But that's not what the Bible means when it speaks of comfort and encouragement. Encouragement in the Bible is specifically gospel encouragement. To encourage the brothers and sisters is to urge them, to comfort them, to encourage them, to spur them on in their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The church is not just a mutual affirmation society. You're great, you're great, you're great. We're to encourage one another in our faith and love for Jesus Christ. Are you trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ this morning as your Lord and Savior? Is your love for him growing? Are you serving him? We exhort one another in gospel faith. Don't give up on Jesus Christ. And if your faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ, live in a manner worthy of your calling. And that's what Tychicus did. Tychicus first was an encourager. Secondly, Tychicus was trustworthy. That's a dominant theme that comes through with this man. Paul had confidence in him. Paul trusts Tychicus to travel with him to Jerusalem to deliver the money that had been raised to help the church. Then Ephesians 6, Paul says to Tychicus, I want you to go to Ephesus. Then in Colossians 4, he says to Tychicus, now I want you to go to Colossae. 2 Timothy 4, I want you to go back to Ephesus to help Timothy. And Titus chapter 3, now I want you to go to Crete to help Titus. So you see, Paul has confidence in this man. Tychicus is sent here and there as Paul's representative, and Paul trusted him that he'd be able to handle the situation. It must have been wonderful for Paul to have someone he could depend on. Now, we all make mistakes, of course. But it's great when you have people you can know you can depend on them. When you say they will do something, it's as good or better than you doing it yourself. You don't have to wonder if they're going to follow it through. You don't have to doubt if they're going to show up. This man, Tychicus, was dependable. He was trustworthy. And Paul knew it. Who's going to teach the children? Well, Tychicus could do it. We're planning an evangelistic event. Who could help? We could ask Tychicus. Who's going to work the sound system? Who's going to serve the coffee? Who's going to help stack the chairs? Who's going to help in the crash? Well, you know Tychicus would show up. If he was needed, he would show up and we can depend on him. So praise God for men and women who trust in Jesus Christ and serve him and who are like Tychicus. And if you're new in the church and we haven't yet discovered your Tychicus qualities, well, we hope that we can do so. And if you're trustworthy and you do it well, serve God in that way. We praise God for the modern day Tychicus, men and women who serve God. We always need more Tychicuses. Looking for people with fresh initiatives, people who are trustworthy. So this man was an encourager. He was trustworthy. Thirdly, he was capable. When we go and think about those little references in 2 Timothy and Titus chapter 3, and we understand what's happening, Timothy was a pastor in Ephesus. So when Paul says, I have sent Tychicus to Ephesus, what was Tychicus going to do in Ephesus? Well, verse 9 gives us a pretty good indication, because Paul tells Timothy, Timothy, be diligent to come to me quickly. Timothy, do your best to come to me quickly, says Paul. So Paul is saying to Timothy, his son in the faith, that he wanted to see him. Come quickly. Paul wanted to catch up with him. Paul wanted to have fellowship with him. So Paul asks Timothy, Timothy, come to me quickly. But Paul knows, what is Timothy going to think? Timothy's going to think, but I've got a church to take care of. I have people to love and take care of. I've got sermons to prepare. So that's why Paul says to Timothy, come to me quickly, but don't worry, I'm sending Tychicus to you. I'm sending Tychicus to Ephesus. It will be all right. You can leave things in his capable hands while you visit me. And it's likely the same thing took place later at Crete. Titus chapter 3 verse 12, when I send Artemis to you or Tychicus, be diligent to come to me at Nicopolis. Again, Paul is saying, Titus, I want to see you. Come. But I'm sending one of my very best men, one of the capable men, who will fill in while you're away. There's no need to panic. Everything will be fine. Who am I sending to help out while you visit me? I'm sending Tychicus. So he acted like an interim pastor in Ephesus, in Crete. Paul knew he could send Tychicus to Ephesus. Paul knew he could send Tychicus to Crete. It would be fine. And how blessed we are when there is someone reliable like this. If you know someone reliable in your life, in your family, in the church, in serving the Lord Jesus Christ, pray for them, take time to thank them. And it may be that you can be a Tychicus in someone else's life in the future. Paul has confidence in Tychicus. He was trustworthy. He was an encourager, but he was also capable. Paul could send Tychicus as interim pastor to Ephesus. He could send him as an interim pastor to Crete. So he was an encourager. He was trustworthy. He was capable. But also, Tychicus was humble. That's a characteristic we should not overlook. And that's where we come back to where we started in Ephesians chapter 6. Paul says, but that you also may know my affairs and how I'm doing, Tychicus, a beloved brother, will make all things known to you, whom I've sent to you for this very purpose. Who delivered the apostolic letter to Ephesus? Tychicus. He was the one knocking on the door, saying that he was bringing them a letter from the Apostle Paul. So Tychicus delivered Paul's letter. He was Paul's personal representative, bringing news from Paul, but he also delivered the letter to Ephesus. Now, the critical point of application in that is that Tychicus was dependable in small things as well as in big things. You could count on him to be the interim pastor in the church, in Ephesus, in Crete. But if needed, Tychicus would be the postman. He was humble, in other words. So, Tychicus, I need someone to shepherd this flock, preach the word in Ephesus, in Crete, fill in for the brothers there. Tychicus says, I can do that. But then on other occasions, Paul said, I need someone to deliver a letter. And humble Tychicus says, I can do that as well. So he didn't consider filling in for Timothy or Titus too big, but he didn't consider being a postman too small. To be dependable and trustworthy in the biggest jobs, but also in the little jobs. To show up on time, to get the work done, to follow through, to be reliable, even when the task seems minor. What do you think seemed the more exciting task for Tychicus? I need you to be the interim pastor in Ephesus. I need you to be the interim pastor in Crete. And Tychicus said, I can do that. You can send me, I can do it, I'll fill in. I'll be the pastor in Ephesus, I'll be the pastor in Crete for a while. But then on another occasion, Paul says, I need you to deliver this letter. And some people might think, I've been entrusted to be interim pastor in Ephesus, interim pastor in Crete. Really? You want me to deliver a letter? I can do important things. Isn't there someone else who can deliver the letter? But Tychicus was humble. He was willing to do whatever the Lord needed him to do, whatever Paul asked him to do. If there were big tasks, he would fill in, but he was also faithful in the little tasks. It's a great example and a challenge to us. There's a Christian called James Mackay of Clashfern who served as the Lord Chancellor of this country from 1987 till 1997. He was one of the highest legal positions in the country. A man called Eric McCracken worked as a court reporter in Edinburgh who would take down what was being said by lawyers and witnesses. And the court reporters would work under considerable pressure for short periods of time, and then they would go off, they'd be relieved, someone would relieve them, and they'd go off and write down a record of the court proceedings. And apparently, in those days, it was not uncommon for lawyers to discuss with the court reporters how they were going to report what had been said in the court. And apparently some lawyers would treat the court reporters like dirt, ordering them to change what had been written to reflect what the lawyers wanted them to record. But says this reporter, there was one advocate, one lawyer, who always treated the reporters with respect. His name was James Mackay, a man who became Lord Chancellor. He was the most able of all the lawyers, but if ever there was a question about what was to be put in the court record, he would come and discuss the problem with the reporter as an equal. It was a recognised fact, says this reporter, in the reporter's room, that James Mackay had a humble attitude, and he treated the reporters with dignity. See, he was humble. He was the top legal brain in the country. But he treated those court reporters with dignity. He was a humble man. A pastor who preached on these verses says that someone came up to the end of the sermon and said, "I want to be a Tychicus. I'll deliver the post if that's needed. I'll do whatever I can to help in the church." To serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Tychicus, an unsung hero, an encourager, trustworthy, capable, but humble. Eager to help, eager to serve, ready to step in. He would do big tasks, but he'd also do little tasks. Are you trusting in Jesus Christ? Are you serving Christ in his kingdom? A story is told about a preacher called George Lorimer, who was the pastor at Tremont Temple Baptist Church in Boston at the end of the 19th century. Pastor Lorimer met a man who claimed to be a Christian. And he was talking with a man, "So you're a Christian, are you a member of a church?" And the man said to him, "No, the dying thief never joined the church, and he went to heaven." So Lorimer carried on with the conversation, tried to see if the man was involved in some way serving the Lord Jesus Christ. "Well, do you support the work of missions then?" The man replied, "No, the dying thief never contributed to missions, and he went to heaven." And Lorimer was rather exasperated, I think, with this man. And he finally replied, "Yes, the thief on the cross, he was a dying thief, but you are a living one." In other words, he was saying to the man, it's one thing to say you're a Christian, but are you serving the Lord Jesus Christ and reflecting that in your life? Well, of course, we do not only have the example and the challenge of Tychicus. We think of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was the eternal Son of God, who delighted to do the will of his Father. A Son who lived and died and rose again to bring honour to his Father and to serve all who put their trust in him and to seek and save the lost. Jesus, the eternal Son of God, but also the servant, who is so much more than a Tychicus. Who comforts our hearts this morning? Who encourages us? The one who says to us, Jesus Christ says to us, "Come to me, all you who labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Who is the one who is absolutely, infallibly trustworthy? Jesus Christ says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." Is your trust in Jesus Christ the one who is absolutely trustworthy? to save all who call upon him. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You believe in God, believe also in me, says Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is sovereignly capable. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The sovereign grace of God in Jesus Christ, that whoever you are, if you believe upon Jesus Christ, you will not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus Christ, the co-equal, co-eternal Son of God, declared the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. And because Jesus Christ was the beloved Son and the faithful minister, we can be forgiven, we can be rescued, we can be saved, we can be made new. And when you're made new, when you trust in Jesus Christ and you own him as your Lord and Savior and God, as you serve him by the work of the Holy Spirit and with the Spirit's help, as you serve Jesus Christ, you become an unsung hero of the faith. In this world's eyes, it may not seem very important at all. But to hear those words from God, well, good, well done, good and faithful servant, a hero of the faith, Tychicus, this unsung hero of the faith, well, he challenges us. But he also points us to the great Savior, Jesus Christ, whom we love and serve. Let's honor him in every part of life. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you and we praise you this morning that you are the one who is absolutely trustworthy. You comfort our hearts. You bring salvation to all who call upon you. We thank you that none who trust in you will ever perish, nor will ever be lost. For you are that good shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep. And we thank you that as we look to you in faith this morning, we can do so with that confidence that you are the one also who will empower us by the Spirit. As we seek to serve you, make us those who are willing to serve such a Savior who loved us and gave himself for us. And may we do so gladly in the big tasks and in the little tasks, in every part of life. Lord, help us, we come in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to sing as a closing hymn, number 830 from the hymn books, a hymn which challenges us in every part of life that we will serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. We'll stand to sing, 830. Let's pray. And now may grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit rest and remain upon each one of you and with all the people of God, both today and forevermore, world without end. Amen.